It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
Yabba dabba doo! Simpson, Homer Simpson, he's the greatest guy in history. From the town of Springfield, he's about to hit a chestnut tree.
Ready or not, soccer is now overtaking Major League Baseball. Pro basketball's NBA Finals and Pro Hockey Stanley Cup mercifully ended in mid-June. During the 2 months before football season starts up in August, though, sports fans are sampling a smorgasbord of offerings. To fill the summertime sports gap, golf has provided the U.S. Open in June and the upcoming British Open in a couple of weeks. NBC's coverage of the upcoming Paris Olympics in late July should lure a large number of television viewers. With temperatures around the U.S. at their summertime peak in late July, watching the world's top athletes should make for some good television ratings. But soccer, anyone? In the last few weeks, I've noticed an abundance of soccer games on television. My personal interest in that sport really hasn't changed since about junior high school. And that's when the coaches gave us the choice of running a mile or so around the school's perimeter fence in 90-plus degree May heat, or going out to the football field and playing soccer. So most of us opted for soccer. Our final period PE class soccer games were quite laughable, too. Most of us didn't even care for the sport's very odd rules, such as not using your arms at all, and using your head, though, is considered to be just fine. Well, at least until you have to get checked for CTE when you're in your 40s, that is.
No!
At least a goalie's job, which allows the use of his arms and legs, head, and other overall athletic skills, seems to be the one fun position on the entire soccer field. It's those other 10 players who I feel sorry for. You see, the scoring in soccer is generally minimal. The games, which feature two 45-minute halves, seems to drag on and involve far too much running up and down the field trying to score a goal. And a hard-earned goal in soccer earns you just one lowly point compared to 6 points you get for scoring a touchdown in football. What a ripoff! Well, our junior high school class soccer games were quite improvised and unsupervised, I might add. After quickly tiring of running up and down in the heat, we decided to shut it down and give each player on both teams one penalty kick at the opposing goalie. It was a whole lot more fun to rack up the points that way rather than run yourself to death and hardly ever get to kick the soccer ball down the field. Then enter fatherhood. About 20 years later, my own two sons wanted to play soccer at a local YMCA. When my younger son's group didn't have a volunteer coach, well, I volunteered to handle the five-year-olds. I quickly ascertained that the primary job of the soccer coach at that level was to make sure the kids had fun and to have some tasty snacks available for after the game. My personal hope was that all the youngsters would come back to play again next season when they perhaps might have a real soccer coach. Now, if you've ever had the pleasure of watching the little kids playing soccer, it's much like a moving scrum going up and down the field. Though this basketball player played hardly any defense at all, I taught my troops the same way. They were to surround that soccer ball and try to kick it down the field and perhaps score a goal. One of the parents pulled me aside and said, "Have you ever played soccer?" And when I answered no, the response was, "That's what I figured." Prior to becoming the coach of that peewee soccer brigade, I had zero knowledge of the rules or strategies for a soccer team. However, our little team did seem to enjoy the season, especially the post-game snacks. That coaching experience failed to pique my interest in soccer, though. It still involved a lot of running for very little reward. Now, both of my sons would continue to play soccer under much better coaches, I might add, for several more years and have still remained lifelong soccer fans, unlike their dad. So why does old Swamp Swami still harbor an anti-soccer attitude? For billions of people around the world, soccer remains one of the cheapest sports to play. All you need is a ball and a couple of goals, which can be makeshift, and you're on your way. Then again, basketball requires about the same amount of equipment and allows the players to use your arms and legs. And who's ever heard of a 0-0 basketball final score?
Yes!
Soccer games can be played for two halves and more than 90 minutes, and you could still end up with a final score of 0-0. So how can any sport end the game without having a victorious team? I still don't know. The soccer players must get the ball past the only person on the field allowed to use his arms and legs, the goalie. Other than a few shots made on goal during a soccer game, the majority of the game is involving players running up and down the field, with the team trying to pass the ball using only their feet. Now, a few creative types use their head to help direct the ball downfield. Though many sports fans find soccer athletic, strategic, and artistic, I still kind of find it boring, at least to watch. Now, younger sports fans, though, have grown up playing soccer. Once the king of summertime sports, it was baseball, who is now suffering from a diminishing number of young people playing the sport. As the older generations like mine continue to, we'll call it, expire, a larger number of younger television viewers are turning to soccer over baseball. And despite my personal opinion, interest in soccer continues to rise. You know, soccer's World Cup is played every 4 years. Every other year, national teams from Europe and Americas have been participating in a separate tournament to help keep sharp. Euro 2024 had 24 teams primarily representing European countries, along with a few teams from Asia, and no, Russia did not get an invitation this year. It will be Spain facing off against England in the Euro 24 finals on Sunday afternoon, July 14th on Fox Television. Meanwhile, the Copa America series features teams from the United States and 15 other national teams representing countries in North, Central, and South America. Now, these games have been played entirely within the U.S. recently. The host cities have generally been big NFL cities with sizable stadium facilities. Unfortunately, the U.S. team was quickly eliminated from the Copa America contest. On Wednesday, the coach of the U.S. national soccer team all the way since 2018 has been fired after the Americans failed to make it out of the initial stage of this biennial competition. The dismissal of Greg Berhalter as the American soccer coach may be seen as a panic move before the U.S., Canada, and Mexico will host the World Cup games in 2026. But regardless of who's coaching Team USA, you need to know this. The Americans have not reached the semifinals of the World Cup since 1930. So don't get your hopes up 2 years from now. On Wednesday night in Charlotte, North Carolina, though, Colombia beat Uruguay 1-0 and advanced into the finals against Argentina. After I turned on the game on TV during the second half last night, I was shocked to see more than 70,000 fans in attendance in North Carolina. Colombia held a one-goal advantage for the entire second half, despite having only 10 of its 11 players on the field? That's right. That's because one of Colombia's players received two of those nasty yellow penalty cards for being a bad boy during the first half of the game, and he was ejected from the game. So how does a team with just 10 players on the field able to beat the team with 11? That's a great question. Even the winning coach last night after the game was surprised that his outmanned team held on for victory. Said Colombian coach Nestor Lorenzo, "We always talk about multiplying the efforts. Sometimes 10 can make the effort of 12 players. Well, coach, you're either bad at math or you forgot that only 11 players can be on the field." Alas, I still find watching most of the games to be about as exciting as watching two old guys playing checkers down at the park. For Wednesday's 90-minute game, which tacked on 7 extra minutes, however you calculate that, the two teams featured a total of just 6 shots on goal for the entire 97-minute game. Now, that would be the equivalent of two NFL teams playing to a 3-0 final score. Other than a first-half field goal, the football game would have been a big defensive struggle, in perfect weather, I might add, as both teams' offenses just failed to cross midfield for the majority of the game. You get the picture. The finals of the Copa America soccer series are going to be played in Miami, Florida on this Sunday night, July 14th at 8 p.m. Central, with Fox handling the television coverage. Argentina will face Colombia for the title. And regardless of my personal disinterest in soccer, the television ratings for this summer's international matches have been much better than expected. Fox is averaging 3.5 million viewers for last weekend's quarterfinal round, and that's 89% higher than it was in 2021. For the entire tournament, Fox is averaging 1.5 million viewers, and that's 40% higher than it was in 2021 as well. So look out, baseball, the soccer train is slowly chugging past you. While soccer's television audience remains small compared to college and NFL football games, the ratings are on par with televised regular season Major League Baseball games. And more importantly to advertisers, the average age of today's soccer viewer, which is 35, falls right in the middle of the prime buying demographic of ages 25 to 49. Advertisers are more than willing to spend a significant part of their budget trying to reach that buying group. But by contrast, Major League Baseball's average television viewer is now 57 years old. Soccer is now the second most popular sport in the U.S. among young people under the age of 24. So Sunday is a big, big day for soccer, but will you be watching? The Euro 24 championship game starts at 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon, while the Copa America finale is at 8 p.m. Sunday, and both of these games are on Fox. If either of these two games attracts, let's say, 10 million or more viewers this Sunday, soccer will continue its quiet ascent up the American sports ladder. But if you're like me, and you happen to need a good nap on Sunday, I'm Swamp Swami.